Ron Van Dam hopes that his show will tickle your fancy. We suggest covering your fancy with both hands. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Ooh, watch out, watch out.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Strap yourself in, put seatbelt on, it's going to be a hell of a show. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person whose name is in the title. Duh. Thank God that expression is starting to wane away. Bye, Wayne. Remember that, like, about 10 years ago, that was a big expression. It was duh. It was so demeaning when people did that. It was cute at first, then it was demeaning. Do you remember that? Are you going to go out and get some gas for your car? Well, duh, yeah, I can't drive my car without gas, duh. Whoa, what are you doing? What the hell are you saying? That was a wonderful meal that you cooked. That was so tasty. I can't believe how great that was. Are you going to do the dishes? Well, duh, someone's got to do them, duh. Well, duh, yeah, I'm doing the dishes, duh. Confrontational phrase that was. Oh my God. Duh. Can you imagine if aliens came here from another galaxy or even from Mexico? Those aliens too. Can you imagine what they would think of our civilization? I just landed on Earth, with the flying saucer here, and people are walking around like expressing their stupidity constantly. Duh. That's all they say. It's so stupid. Well, Trump obviously lost the election to Biden. Let's face it, no matter what side you're on, he lost. And I was driving down the street in the town in which I live, which is, duh, that's what I do. Duh. And there's a Trump store, and they sell Trump memorabilia and Trump stuff, you know, little Trump dolls. It's funny, I've never been in a Trump store, but I can imagine it's all like dolls of Trump. It's like putting Trump down in the Trump store. So, but like, they can't sell books because Trump doesn't read, and he doesn't write books unless somebody else pens it for him, puts his name on it, like the buildings. So it's kind of funny, the Trump store. It's like, well, you should do a going out of business sale on that place. Duh. All right, fine. Welcome to the show. You know, I've been doing a version of this show for 30 years. I was on broadcast radio for about 28 years or 25, and still doing it syndicated-wise, but I used to go into an actual radio station every day of my life, and I was on the air from 3 to 4 hours a day. I did their morning shows on various stations, and filling 3 or 4 hours a day was not really very easy. So I'm used to filling time. That's my diploma. There's a diploma on my wall that says, Ron is excellence in filling time. Wow, I don't know if I want to be known for that. I don't know if I want that engraved on my headstone, my gravestone there. Here lies Ron Van Dam of the Ron Van Dam Show of the same title. He filled time. That was, what an awful legacy that is. What are they going to put on your headstone, gravestone, tombstone, whatever you call that thing? Yeah. I've talked about my bucket list before. My bucket list is all the things that I will never do. And I add things to that through my life. No, I'm never going to do that. Put it on the bucket list. That's actually called the fuck it list. And it's overflowing. It's over. The number of things that I will never do and refuse to do, the list goes on. I've been through like five or six different pens and about 36 pencils. The list just goes on. I mean, it started with simple stuff like bungee jumping. I will never bungee jump. I will never jump off a bridge and have an elastic cord, a rubber band, save my life when I'm about 6 inches from the ground and 6 inches from dying. That's something perhaps I can do without. And they say, Ron, that's an adrenaline thrill. It's your adrenaline goes crazy. Hey, man, you know, at my age, I piss in the middle of the night. That's enough of an adrenaline thing for me. That gets me going. I don't need that. I don't need that on my bucket list, nor do I need to be pushed out of a plane at 10,000 feet and go plummeting toward the ground with nothing between me and the ground but a balloon parachute kind of thing. I mean, like a piece of cloth. If I pull the ripcord at the proper time, a piece of cloth is going to save my... No. That's on the fuck it list. It ain't going to happen. It's those two things plus another 3,000 that I will never do. And I think I'm going to achieve that list. Yeah, I'm serious, man. There's a lot of stuff that I will never do. Exercise. I will never do that. I will never do that properly. It's not going to happen. I've tried it so many times. I've tried so many times to exercise. You know the number of gyms that I've joined for maybe a day. I've joined every gym there was, every James, all the workout places. They're called workout places now, I guess. I've joined every one of them because they were so alluring. It was just a dollar a month. I said, well, how's that possible? I used to join the things and I would put on these stupid clothes that made me look like I was serious about working out, but I didn't even own a pair of shorts at that point. And I was going into a gym and I would say, look at all the paraphernalia and these big toting guys and these women with huge muscles who could beat the crap out of me if I didn't show up on time for a date. That's just scary for me. So I would go on the treadmill because it's fairly easy for me and most human beings to make believe that they're running on a treadmill with a piece of cheese in front of them, like a mouse, like a gerbil. You know, it's demeaning, duh. So I figured, well, if I can walk, I can run slowly. I've done that before. The elliptical, understand what that is? I don't understand. Why would I want to make believe I'm walking upstairs for the rest of my life? Why would I do that? Why would I go to a place where I have to take a bottle of some type of cleanser, spray it on the handlebars and all over the equipment, wipe it down, and then get on it? That sounds like it's not a good idea. And the gym has plenty of mirrors so you can look at yourself and then look at everybody else and feel comparatively pathetic, no matter how much you work out. Work out. Work what out? Work out? No, going to the office and getting your paycheck and doing your job, that's working out. You're working the body. What am I doing with the body? I'm working it? What the hell does that even mean? Come on, Ron, work it. I don't even understand what the phrase means. Work what? What are you talking about? A friend of mine brought me to a spinning class. Oh, my God. I thought we were going to be making fabrics, but no, a spinning, it's not the spinning wheel. It doesn't have fabric on it. I walked into this room and there were about 30 bicycles. They were stationary bicycles. I think when they invented the bicycle, they never thought of making it so it doesn't go anywhere. I don't think that was the intent of a bicycle. Well, we're going to invent the bicycle Where's it going to go? It's not the point. It's not the point. Yes, it is the point. So I walk into this room and there's about 30 stationary bicycles and they're all pointed in the same direction. Even a stationary bicycle, you don't want to point it toward another bicycle because could it come loose from the floor, it'd be a horrible accident. So I think the stationary bicycle only has a front wheel. I don't even remember. I didn't even pay attention. So I'm sitting, my friend's sitting on the bicycle to my right, and I'm sitting on the bicycle under my crotch. And I figure, well, this could be pleasant. I'm going to make believe I'm pedaling through Paris. This could be fun. Maybe they'll play some gentle Parisian music in the background. I can close my eyes and make believe I'm on my way to pick up a loaf of bread or something like that, or to enjoy some brie, whoever she is. All of a sudden, this woman comes walking into the room. She has thighs the size of a large dining room table. She's bulging out in every place. To me, a woman should only bulge out around the breast area. Other than that, bulges are not my thing. They're not my thing on anybody. To me, if someone has a bulge, have it checked, go to the doctor, get it x-rayed. And if it needs removal or medicine, take it. A bulge? What the hell's that doing there? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So she's walking in. She's got fluorescent orange tight hot pants or something. Just looks like an idiot. And then she's wearing some type of a strapless bra. I don't know what the hell that thing is. And her muscles are just bulging all. She makes the Incredible Hulk look like a nerd in high school. So she walks in there, and she is so full of energy. If she's not on cocaine, I mean, I swear there's probably powder all over her upper lip. I can't imagine. She is so full of energy. She's the antithesis of me. The antithesis. She is my mortal enemy. People who have a lot of energy are my enemies. They're trying to change the world and make it exciting. Don't do that. Stop it. It's too much for me to handle. So she gets in there, and there's a bicycle in the front pointed at all the other bicycles. So she must be the lead person, the lead bicycle, the class motivator. And I look at my friend on the bicycle to the right, and he's looking at me, and he's smiling like, Ron, you're going to enjoy this. And somehow I get the feeling I may not enjoy it, but I'm starting to get a little bit scared because everybody looks pumped up and I kind of just want to go out for Chinese food. So she gets on the bicycle and she hits a little button on some type of a speaker music device, you know, like a boom box. She hits the button and all of a sudden this annoyingly banging music starts. The beat is so incredibly loud that I'm feeling my heart not knowing what beat to go with. My heart is pretty much saying, Ron, are we going with your rhythmic thing or do I go with the music? I mean, what am I supposed to do here? My heart is like, it's pounding. And she yells and screams. She has to because the music is so loud. She yells and screams and she says, all right, and she's hoarse. She looks like a horse too, but her voice is horsey. Oh, whoa. And she starts yelling out directions. Now, that's something that I will not tolerate. I will not tolerate any man or woman shouting out directions at me. I don't care if it's for a cooking class or a spinning class or whatever. Now I'm starting to understand the spinning is spinning the wheel on the bicycle. I never thought that was what this was about. She's barking directions at everybody. They're all doing it happily, and I'm doing it like, man, you're a drill sergeant for an army I don't want to be in. Come on, faster, faster, faster. Come on, feel it, feel it, feel it. I want you to say, do you feel it? And everybody in the class in unison says, yes, we feel it. I was like, oh, my God. Did I just sign up for the National Guard? What are we doing? Are we going into battle? Are they going to hand out like protective gear? What's going on? she's yelling and screaming. And I thought, oh my God, her poor boyfriend or husband. Oh my. Our dinner's ready. Can you eat it? Eat it. Eat it. And oh my God. She's annoying as hell. So I look at my watch, and then I look over at my friend, and he's just enjoying this, and he's got that affirmative thing, shaking his head up and down. Pretty good, huh? We're having fun, huh? And I look like I've seen a ghost. I look like I'm stuck in bondage. It's an awful feeling. I'm stuck. And I lean over to him, and I say, how long is this class? And he says, it's an hour. I can't do this for an hour. I'll die. And I looked around, and I didn't see any spotters or any ambulances standing by, and I'm starting to, like, hyperventilate. I mean, I can't pedal this fast. First of all, what's the point? Where are we going? I mean, if we were pedaling outside and, you know, we were going to the supermarket, I'd say, okay, there's a purpose to this. But there's no purpose. The bike doesn't move anywhere, and I'm listening to music that is filtering into my organ system and screwing up my entire rhythmic body. Well, I embarrassed myself totally. While everybody was spinning to the music at incredibly high speeds, I thought the bicycles were going to come loose from the floor, and this unicycle would all of a sudden take off. And I go crashing through the wall. There's too much energy going on here. So I started pedaling like really slowly. Not because I wanted to, because I thought I was going to die if I didn't do that. And then finally I got off the bicycle and everybody else was spinning. And my friend looks at me like, what the fuck? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're getting off your bicycle? And I didn't. I said, yeah, I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. I had a bad clam for dinner. Bad clams. So I have to leave. Bye. And I very sheepishly went to the back of the room and I left. And I got in my car and I gunned that sucker. I was going like 90 miles an hour out of that parking lot. I never want to see a spinning class again. I never want to talk about it, although I just did. But that was a horrific experience. And you know where that experience went immediately? Onto my fuck it list. Something I will never do again, ever. I've tried to do the opposite. I've tried to meditate. Meditation apparently is a wonderful idea. You just sit back and relax, and everything is just fine and wonderful. And oh, yeah. I've tried to meditate. The only problem with that is I can't clear my mind. I have tried it so many times.
Think of the fact that the moon looks a lot closer than it normally is, and that maybe the Mayans were right, and this is pretty much it. But for now, as the warmth of the river overtakes you, and you calmly float downstream, not at all thinking about the potential of a waterfall at the end of the stream, over which you could plummet and fall to your death on jagged rocks below, you're just calm. At one with the flow, moving softly through the universe, even as the universe continues to simply ignore you and your constant pathetic cries for help in a life that's gone terribly, terribly wrong. And now we're coming to the end of the meditation. You want to rise up out of the river and not at all be concerned about the fact that you are buck naked and that there are natives along the riverbank who are pointing and laughing.
Oh, I can't do it. I can't do that either. I can't meditate. I can't clear my mind. There's no button on my head that says clear search history, clear watch history. There's no button like that. Now it's too quiet, and I try playing music in the background, and it reminds me of the spinning class. I can't meditate. I can't clear my mind. I even put a blindfold on myself once when I was meditating, trying to make believe that I couldn't see. I mean, that was a stupid idea. Put on headphones so I could block out the world around me. Then I had an itch in my crotch, and that kind of took me out of my meditation place. Yeah, I'm supposed to come up with a place where, picture yourself in a waterfall, Niagara Falls, and your mouth is open and you're about to drown. Picture yourself in a lovely setting. There's a beautiful woman, and she's opening up a picnic basket, and you're eating sandwiches. Almost made it there, almost made it. But then one of the sandwiches wasn't tasting too good, and the mayonnaise was starting to go bad, and all of a sudden the meditation's over, and now I'm concerned about my health. It's just, you can't win. You can't win. Okay. My guest is going to join us momentarily. All right. I know. Why is life so difficult, do you think? Why is it so, isn't it supposed to be easy? I try to make life easy for myself, but there's something that's always thrown at me. There's always a monkey in the corner flinging monkey crap at me and landing it every once in a while. I mean, life is not, I think it was who told me this, life is a series of speed bumps. And you have to make it over the bump in order to get to the other side. Well, I didn't know that. Don't explain that to me. The doctor, when I was born, when they cut the umbilical cord, that's the first thing that happens. They take a pair of scissors or something, and they cut your umbilical cord, your only lifeline to your mother. Very symbolic. The doctor slapped me. And then he looked at me and he just slapped my mother and said, what the hell are you giving birth to this thing for? He slapped my mother, the doctor did. And he apologized because he realized he shouldn't be slapping my mother. He says, oh, excuse me, I meant to slap the nurse. I mean, it's like, what the hell's going on? Is this a Three Stooges routine? But the doctor never said to me, this little infant, Ron, you have no idea what you're in for. You have no idea. There's going to be some troubled times ahead, Ron. But keep on rowing. That's what you're up against. And by the way, you might as well start making a list right now. Yeah, you're going to need a list. You're going to need a list.
Ron Van Dam knows exactly the kind of person who listens to his show.
They are not well people. They are very uncomfortable people. They are not successful. They are self-destructive.
And that's just the way he likes them. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm good. Jeremy Walters is here. Yay. Thanks for being with us. He's a sustainability ambassador.
Absolutely.
Sustainability ambassador at Republic Services. We've spoken to Republic before. And here he is, and we're talking about the pandemic and the impact on the environment. I am a Republican. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Republic client. Your lovely trucks take care of me every week. So, let's start there.
Well, we appreciate you being a customer.
Okay. We recycle and all that. This has been a challenge for every company because of a number of employees doing it properly, doing it safely. And still, we recycle and we're still concerned about the environment. And many people may be asking, did we take a backseat for a short period of time? Are we still waiting for things to resolve before we get it back into full swing with recycling?
So quite the contrary, actually. We've seen a jump in residential recycling. And so that's understandably so because more people are spending time at home and less likely to be at an office. So we did see drops in commercial volume, but where we saw the drop in the commercial volume, we saw it pick back up over at the curb out front of your house.
Hmm. You did a survey recently, I understand. What did you find?
Yes, sir. So, this survey was really trying to get a pulse on where people are at with recycling as it relates to the pandemic. And, with more of us spending that time at home, we might be a little bit more conscientious of the amount of waste that we make. And if we think about that, you're not generating that waste at your office building where you might be a little removed from the process.
True.
What I mean by that is, might have a janitor that actually takes your recycle bin and puts it in the large bin at the office building. Now you're generating that same waste, but at home. And if you've got, a significant other, if you've got kids, you can multiply that 2, 3, 4 times, and you really say, oh, wow, we're creating a lot of waste. So we made this survey available across the U.S., and we found that an overwhelming number of respondents found that recycling is very important, but there were some challenges in there. And so, with the pandemic, 77% of the respondents said they are more likely to recycle, with about 57% saying that it would be a lasting change.
Right. People are still very concerned about the environment per se, on the whole, and pandemics don't stop that. As a matter of fact, many stores have actually stopped giving out plastic bags to supermarkets and such, even in the midst of a pandemic where it would have been easier just to do that. So it seems to me personally that no, it didn't stop the movement at all.
No, and actually the survey results showed that about 65% of the respondents believe that they have a constant worry about the environment. And it is important for us to keep that in the front of our mind, because global pandemic or not, these are things that will have lasting impacts on our lives. So, I am very intrigued by these results to show that people still care about recycling. And I think that, the timing of this survey was very important. You know, at the very beginning of the pandemic, we had a lot of other things to worry about. And as we've sort of navigated these new waters, and I use air quotes, but we learned to live in our new norm, we might be a little bit more likely to continue thinking about recycling and sustainability as a whole.
Right. We talked a while ago about China, I believe it was, that was purchasing our recyclables at an alarmingly wonderful rate and had decided not to at a point, and I thought that well, this might change our attitude on recycling. Apparently it hasn't. Is that true?
No, it hasn't. And honestly, more than ever, it is so critical for us to continue recycling, because the manufacturing and supply chains do need these commodities so they can make new products. Cardboard and paper especially. I don't think any of us want to face another toilet paper shortage, right?
No, not right now. No. Actually, after this interview, I may actually be concerned about that. But anyway.
I need to run over and go buy a big pack.
Right. Has nothing to do with you. It could have been any interview. Okay. Now, companies such as yourselves do a wonderful job, and that's where the materials come in order for us to improve the environment. I get a little confused sometimes by what to recycle and what not to. Does the website Republic tell us this information?
It does. We actually have a dedicated website where you can find out that information. And just to make you feel a little bit better, you're not alone in not fully understanding what is actually able to be recycled. 24% of our survey respondents said that they felt the same way. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you and those other 24% to check out recycling.simplify.com. That's where you can find comprehensive information in a very easy to digest manner on what you can and can't recycle. There's videos, there's tips, there's tricks. If there's educators out there listening, I know that distance learning this year is quite a new challenge, but we've got virtual field trips on there and full lesson plans. So recyclingsimplified.com.
Distance learning is actually, that will stay normal. And that's fine with me. I mean, I can learn things by not putting my face in front of somebody else's. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. Thank you so much. Well, I don't. All right, one more time to get added information beyond what we talked about today.
That website is recyclingsimplified.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today. I continue to be impressed by your company, and I hope anybody else that's in a situation where you're looking for a service, give them a shot for sure. Thank you so much for your time today, Jeremy.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. Here's the thing.
Here's the deal. Tomorrow, there's going to be a brand new show. That's right. Yeah, I do this every weekday. Don't feel bad for me. It's okay. It's not so bad. So will you join me again tomorrow? I have no idea what the topic will be or who the guest will be or anything. Or maybe my back will hurt or something and I'll be in excruciating pain. I don't know. I have no idea. I can't tell from one day to the next what's going to happen. That's supposed to be what's fun about life. Do you ever lie in bed in the morning and the sun comes up eventually and you say to yourself, oh, it's another day. It's another day. Do you consider it to be, here we go, it's another day? Or do you actually like relish in it? You know, do you eat relish and do you say, oh, what a gift this is. What a gift it is to be alive. Do you do that? Those are the people that apparently are happy. They're apparently the happy ones. I guess. The problem is not the people. It's the people getting along with the other people. That's the problem. Because there's all different kinds of people. All different kinds. All different backgrounds. All different attitudes. All raised differently, pretty much. Even your brother or sister was raised differently. Well, Ron, how's that possible with the same parents? Because the interpretation of the parents is totally different. It's your perception. So everybody's coming from a different place. And the trick in life is to get along with the other people walking around. Yeah, there's other people walking around, if you noticed. You live with some of them. Most of them, you don't live with them, but you bump into them all the time. Yeah, the trick is getting along with the other people. I guess it would be too lonely if there were no other people, but think of how there wouldn't be any arguments or differences of opinion. Unless you have a split personality, then you can argue with yourself. So there's something good about a split personality. I've never met anybody with a split personality. Or, people who have like multiple identifications, when they're angry, they're Larry. When they're happy, they're Bob. You know, that I've never met anybody like that. Yeah, I meet other people all the time, and I find that the big challenge to meeting other people is tolerating them. It's life is a tolerance. It's the people that tolerate everything that are the happiest as well. I know some people like this. They're always happy, eternally happy, always happy, and they apparently are happy because they're not processing how unhappy they could possibly be under the circumstances. Yeah. All right, that's enough. Have yourselves... I apologize. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Are you one of these other people that I'm talking about, by the way?